Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on April 28, 2015, at 7:00 p.m. The pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Mark Mitchell, after which, if you remain standing for the invocation to be given by Don McConnell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry. Let us pray. Dear Lord, watch over our City and Borough of Wrangell and the Assemblymembers that choose to serve the people. Give them the forethought to make wise decisions that will assure the growth and the well-being of all residents. In the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one ceremonial matter this evening, proclamation. For Municipal Clerk Week, May 3rd through 9th, 2015. Whereas the office of the municipal clerk, a time-honored and vital part of local government, exists throughout the world, and whereas the office of the municipal clerk is the oldest among public servants, and whereas the office of the municipal clerk provides a professional link between the citizens, the local governing bodies, and agencies of government at other levels, and whereas municipal clerks have pledged to be ever mindful of their neutrality and impartiality, rendering equal service to all, and whereas the municipal clerk serves as the information center on functions of local government and community, and whereas municipal clerks continually strive to improve the administration of the affairs of the office of the municipal clerk through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and the annual meetings of their state, provincial, county, and international professional organizations. And whereas it is most appropriate that we recognize the accomplishments of the office of the municipal clerk. And now, therefore, I, David L. Jack, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, do recognize the week of May 3rd through May 9th, 2015, as Municipal Clerks Week, and further extend appreciation to our municipal clerk, Kim Lane, and to all municipal clerks for the vital services they perform and their exemplary dedication to the communities they represent. Dated this 28th of April, 2015. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Slate?
Here.
Prasanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Item three, amendments to the agenda. Anyone have any amendments? Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have any conflict of interest on any item on the agenda?
Might have a conflict with Silvernail Road. I don't know if it has anything to do with the bake up or anything anymore. I mean, you guys have to make that decision.
Would you receive any direct financial, anything directly financial from that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't see it for
only you. You guys, I don't see where I would directly receive any financial.
You're not putting any money in your pocket one way or the other?
No.
And I don't see a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk. Item 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, 13C, and 13D.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Assemblymembers Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item six, that's approved already. Item eight, Borough Manager Report.
Just a couple items. The legislature adjourned, and maybe they're going back, but at this time, there was some reductions to our jail funding, and it actually ended up maybe, even though it was a reduction, it was better than maybe that we first had started hearing, so that was good news, I guess. Also, the trooper position in town appears to be reinstated, and there was a fair amount of lobbying for that by the assembly and staff and Senator or Representative Ortiz. So that's a good thing. The Stikine River Birding Festival will begin on April 30th through May 2nd, so encourage people to participate in that and the different things they will have. We've got some bids out. The asbestos removal in the community center is out to bid. That is expected to be bid and completed by June 30th. We also will be putting out the Edlin lots that are, once the approval of the plat is done for the easement setbacks and the different things we had to do there. So we'll be advertising those, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday in the paper. So there's, I think there's 7 or 8 lots there, so people can bid on those if they would like. The swimming pool reopening, I don't have exact date, but we're getting real close, and there's a couple little things that we're still doing, but the pool has been patched, the tile work's been done, the heat exchanger is done. There's a couple other things they're working on, but I think we're getting close. There'll be kind of a grand opening or reopening, if you, so kind of watch for that. We expect that to happen sometime within the next 10 days. The draft budget we went over today or tonight, and I think the last thing is that the Secure Rural Schools, which funds the biggest portion of our schools at this point, that's some federal funding that was renewed for both this year and next, so that's good news. A small reduction in that, but it's still plenty that we're glad to get. And other than that, a bunch of other things listed in the report, but that was all I wanted to report tonight. That was about it.
Any questions or comments? Your report is filed.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything.
Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Does any assembly member have any report?
Just an update on the SEPA bonding went through, and we were able to sell the bonds very quickly and with a very favorable rate, so we're pleased about that. Hospital news, I just found out today that the hospital has hired a new CFO, and it's going to be a shared position between Petersburg and Wrangell. I'm not quite sure on living arrangements, if the person will be living in Petersburg or in Wrangell or traveling, or I'm not sure of all the details, but that's just came in recently. And I'd just like to also mention finally that I'm very pleased that this trooper position's been reinstated. I had a situation recently where I needed a state trooper, and it took 2 weeks for the person to get over to deal with the situation that I had. So not very timely, and I'm very pleased that we're going to have that position back in.
Anyone else? Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. We did have one letter of interest for that position. That was from Willis Cohen. And with the consensus of the assembly, I will appoint Willis Cohen to that, to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the public who wishes to speak on any item on the agenda to do so. And This is the only time that you'll be allowed to speak, and when the item comes up, unless there's a question from an assembly member, you will not be allowed to speak. If you wish to speak under persons to be heard at this time, please sign on the sheet.
Kim.
Thank you. Well, the first person is Randy Oliver. If you'd come forward with the mic and state your name and address for the record, please.
Andy Oliver, 3408 Zamovia Highway. I want to address the timber sale that is proposed for 4 Mile or out there on the across from the Loop Road. It's the sale that Mike Allen's looking at doing some of the city. My only concern, and I talked to Carol, I talked to Mike, we've talked about it, and I don't think there's a problem. I just wanted to kind of get it on record, is that we intend to get our logs for the logging show there for the 4th of July Chuck Oliver logging show. And I've scoured this place everywhere trying to find logs. We've taken everything that we could get at the reservoir that was the size that we needed. The only, we need a couple, three trees over the next 3 years, a tree per year. It's kind of into the size that Mike wants. And I'm hoping that me and him can work that out, but I wanted to get it on the, as record, that we do try and get those logs from there. And I had talked to Carl, obviously he's gone, Carl Johnson, and he told me last year that over the next 4 or 5 years we could get our logs there. The only log that we need that's in the size range that Mike wants is a 30-inch diameter. It has to be up the tree a ways to get a segment because that's our power saw bucking size log. So everything else that we use is smaller than what he even wants to harvest out there. And I'm concerned that, I mean, I've looked all around and I've been on the state land. I mean, short of going to the other end of the island, and typically I've done this on my cuff. So it's not, I mean, and again, nobody makes any money from the wood that comes off for this logging show. I mean, when we're done, we either buck it up and give it off for firewood or we just disperse of it. We're not selling logs or anything like that. So, I mean, it's, and again, I talked to Mike, and I think we can work that out for this year. I'm just concerned about the next couple of years if we left a couple of trees that, and again, I really don't want to infect his logging operation. I just want to make sure that we have trees for the logging show if we're going to continue to do it. So.
You're not talking about the same tree, though.
Well, no, and I don't know exactly what Mike's picked out. We haven't got a chance to walk out there, but I know the size that he's looking for, and we need one tree a year in that size category. Typically, if we're looking for a 30-foot or 30-inch diameter segment, mid-tree, or maybe not even mid-tree, but it has to be something fairly straight, because we'll take a 30-foot stick, cut it in half, split it apart, and the two ends that we cut apart and spread is where our power saw bucking event goes. Now, in talking to Mike, I explained to him also that when we do this event, we may have 8 or 10 buckers out there. You know, maybe 10. So we'll run five, two guys at a time against it. So we're only pulling an inch and a half at a time. We're not taking a lot of wood. And actually, I had mentioned that to him. And if he's got timber, the problem that's been in the last couple of years, and the reason that we've had to come to the city to get it, is because there hasn't been any timber. Mike didn't have any. There was no, I mean, they didn't have the size of spruce that we needed for the show. That's how we went out and found them last year up there on that road. And the year before, we got them at the reservoir. And I know there's in the past there's been some problems with giving credit where credit's due, and I told Mike that we would definitely, you know, make sure that everybody knew that he helped us get these logs, and that we would promote him too at the logging show, just like we do everybody else. We try to make sure that we announce everybody that provides for that show for us. So that's kind of where it's at.
Okay, now another question. Are the logs that Mike wants the only logs of that type there? I haven't been up there lately.
Well, no, there's no, it's a, no, and he's going to, I'm just in our conversations,
I mean,
he's selected logging.
He's not going to take all of them.
No, and there's, he's only taking a size. I think you're only taking a size, right, Mike? I mean, that just a certain size and dimension that he needs for his. We only need one tree, and like I said, I'm looking at if we had three trees, one for this year and a couple more, we will have to revamp our program. That's why I'm saying I don't want to affect his timber sale, but I do want to make sure that we've got a couple trees there that will last us over the next 2 or 3 years. So that's what we're talking about. And I don't know how many trees he's found out there, if there's, you know, 50, 60, 70, whatever there is. But and for us, it would be nice if we could leave a couple along the road. And Mike had stated to me that he would help us get that wood out if he's in there logging. I know the road's got to be put back in. So that's all my concern is that we got something to deal with.
I think we can work it out with the borough manager. Can you just talk to
him? I mean, yeah, well, and I've talked to Jeff over the last couple of years pretty hard. Part of the problem is we can't get wood from the Forest Service, and I mean, I raised holy heck with the district ranger here last year in this same meeting area, because there's no mechanism in place for them to let the chamber have any trees. And typically we need 3 or 4 trees a year is all we need. And like I said, the smaller stuff, we can find that. It's that one big tree. And there was no mechanism in place for us to get anything. And here we are in Wrangell in the middle of the Tongass. We can't even get a couple, 3 trees donated from the Forest Service to us. So that's why we've came knocking on the city's door trying to find the wood.
I think the city can work it out with both of you.
Okay, perfect. That's all
okay.
I want. Okay.
Just work out for you.
Okay. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
You bet.
Next is Bill Willard. If you come on forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Bill Willard. I'm 426 Front Street. I work for Wrangell Cooperative Association as their tribal transportation program manager. I'm here to speak on item 13F. We put in a request to purchase some industrial land from the borough. I'm going to give you a little background first of where we started this program when I started in 2010. We were run by a consortium in 2010, and at that time the board decided it was time for us to take this program over for ourselves. So we started to develop a plan, and slowly but surely we got out of that consortium and we dissolved it in 2012 and became WCA Transportation. From that point on, we developed a long-range plan to develop a Department of Transportation. And in that department, we wanted to provide force account work for our members of our community, train people, do small jobs, what we got going with the Forest Service now. So 3 years ago, we got an agreement with the Forest Service and started doing some trail work with them. Last year, we got an agreement with the Forest Service and we start doing replacing culverts out there. We hired 3 people, we rented equipment, and we're going to continue doing that this year. We have another agreement. So I went from 2 months work 2 years ago, 3 months last year, to 4 months this year. So we're slowly trying to build this program. And part of the big part of this plan is we need a piece of property to put our equipment we're acquiring and to develop a good Department of Transportation, something that will benefit the community of Wrangell, not just us, everybody. So in about 2013, I started talking with Tim Rooney looking for some land. He gave me a couple options up there in the industrial lots, and I told him, I says, you know, I appreciate the offer, but I says, you know, we're looking for something to build a facility, a nice office plus facility with equipment. So we didn't take that, and we kept looking. And last year, early year, I started talking to Jeff about this other land that come up here now. And we looked at the 5 lots up there, and there was 3 lots that we liked. So I told Jeff these 2 lots that we saw pictures of looked really good to build on.
They have a lot of trees and a lot of good growth on there to build a good foundation and a good building. So that's where we went from that, from last summer to where we are right now. Still trying to do the same thing. So I'm just here asking the borough, please consider this, and we appreciate your consideration.
Anyone have any questions?
I have a question. Are none of the other lots in the industrial park are buildable? Is that...
Well, you know, I really don't know that, ma'am, because, you know, just that when we got into this, that was what we looked at. There was them three lots here that looked the best to us. And at the time, there was nobody else in on this. So as we got moved forward, then more people got in on this. So that was the only reason that we stuck with them three lots.
Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Most of the industrial lots are sold. The only ones that are available, there's a handful that are right past the Forest Service on the road. Mm-hmm. But currently there's no road to them from either direction. So there would have to be, you know, some kind of a access to them in that way. But so that's the ones we're talking about.
The ones that they're interested in are on the road.
There's one on the road access. And there's one back, yeah. And then there's another one on the road. So there's two of them on the road, and one of them where they want to build would be two in a row. Mm-hmm. But right now, the reason we haven't bid those out or anything at this point, because there isn't any access to them really, other than off the highway there. We really haven't got water and sewer to them or electricity to them or anything like that. So,
and we would be required to do that if... purchase.
Right, we would have to bring water and sewer up to that point, and I don't know if electricity runs by on the highway, probably does. Yeah, but water and sewer would have to come up from, I think it's somewhere down, somewhere on the lower side of the Forest Service would have to come up. Actually, the water goes by there, it would be the sewer would be the main thing, because the water loops around to the airport.
Did they have a rough estimated cost of doing that?
If Carl Johnson, before he left, had estimated that the cost to get utilities to that first lot to them would be in the range of $66,000, somewhere in that range is what he had given me. And then if they needed utilities to all the lots, so that we'd have to run up farther up the highway to the third lot that they're talking about, and that could go up to 115, 117, something like that.
Three questions. First, with the utilities, are you going to need power to all three lots, or utilities to all three?
No, it's sort of premature, but I'm going to say no. Where we want to build a building, we would definitely need power there. I would say no, not all three lots.
Okay. The other two questions is, do you have funding in place right now to purchase them?
Yes.
And lastly, if you do purchase them, when would you begin building there?
Well, depending on, like right now, we have a process with our federal money too. If I got the okay from the borough, say today, that they were going to sell us this property, then I would have to go write a letter to Federal Highways explaining the process. But I've already covered that before. There was Bob Sparrow was in town last summer to look at Weber Street, and he is our director for our program. So I already took him up there, and I talked to him about it already. So he's briefed on it a little bit. But I'd have to go through a little process to make this work, but I don't think it would take very long to do.
Yeah. I went up there today after I got all the letters and everything, and I started looking around, Bill, about, you got 6A, 5A, City 8. This is also a question to you, Jeff. And if I'm looking at this map, there's a 7 and a 9, 7, 8, and a 9 all in a triangle there, mm-hmm. which has road access also on the airport road. You got 8 and 9 on access road. Is 7, 9, or 8, are any of those in the area for bidding on too?
Yeah, so which slide is that? He's talking about this 8, 9. Yeah, so coming from the airport, 9 would be on the road, and that's something we could bid out.
Yep.
Or sell or whatever. The next one up is 8. That is on the airport road. You
okay.
can access there. 5th Avenue, which is platted, it's not in there on in between these lots. And then also 7, which is inland or in road from 8, that's available too, but there's no road to it at this time.
Well, then my question also, Bill, is to you is, if you're, I don't know if you're looking at the same map I'm looking at, but you have 5th Avenue and 6th Avenue, you would have, if you were to, because I know there's other people also wanting to bid on lots here too, and I'm just looking at all the whole big picture here. Mm-hmm. You'd have access on 2 roadsides, actually 3, if you guys took 7, 8, and 9. I mean, I'm not no architect or anything like that or about land and what to build on, but to me, a lot of it looks like basically the same style of land, muskegee, little trees. I'm just brainstorming here. Looking at trying to do something for that would suit everybody involved. You know, I was looking at this more as you'd have 3 roadways into those 3 lots. I mean, proposed roadways. So, I mean, go ahead.
Sorry. There is interest in lot 7.
Okay.
AML has showed some interest in that. They would like to move their propane tank up there. And I don't know if they still do. This was probably 4 or 5 months ago. They approached me about finding a site to do that up there.
Mm-hmm.
As they're developing a new warehousing system down there, and they need the space out in the yard for the biggest reason. So as they back trucks and stuff up to their new doors that are or their things that are going to be raised to make it a little more efficient for them. That tank sits right in the middle of their yard and is cumbersome to get around with trucks and chassis and all that. So they've approached us about that lot 7 that they were certainly interested in that for that purpose. So there has been other people interested in industrial lots in general.
Okay.
So actually we've had a fair amount of interest. So.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
No.
Okay, anything further? Well, thank you.
I'm just going to say one more thing, too. There was a question in here that Jeff brought up quite a while back, too, about the longevity of this program. I just want to give you a brief history that this program has been around in full force since 1928, and I don't see it going away. It's going to be a part of it's part of the deal right now, for a long ways down the road. So it's not going to stop. Thank you.
Next person is Brett Woodbridge.
I'm Brett Woodbridge, 727 Case Avenue. Me and Bill are fighting over the same lot. the lot 5A or 5A and 6A are adjacent to my property, and I've been working on getting them for 4 or 5 years, off and on with Tim and Jeff. My thing is that if I have the opportunity to get 5A and 6A, and they get 7, 8, and 9 on the other side, and then that leaves, 5th Avenue, which isn't built yet, is another access. They get 7, 8, and 9, they have access on 6th Avenue, and then Arrowhead can go on the other side, all those lots on there, and everybody's happy.
Any questions?
Right?
Yes. Brett, how long have you been trying to...
Tim was city manager, and when I traded that lot, I have a lot behind there, and I bought a lot in the industrial park, and I traded them for that. So I can be adjacent to my property. So I have 2 lots. And then
but you've offered to purchase this as...
Oh, yeah. No.
So purchase or trade either.
Well, I'd just soon purchase it, so. But that was the easiest way to do it, and it all worked out that way, is to purchase and trade.
When would you be willing to purchase?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Why wouldn't they sell it to you?
Why? He told me that they couldn't. because it has to go out for bid and there's no access, and I just went for that. So that's why I have another lot up in that street you guys just did, Edlin Street. And I said, well, can I trade that one for, you know, 5A and maybe purchase 6A? And anyway. Yes.
Do you need, what services would you require?
None.
That was my question.
That was your question. Yeah.
Answers, Steve's question. Generally, our code requires lots to be bid out. And again, I think the situation with Brad is he bought a lot, an industrial lot, and it was, I don't know if it was similar size or...
Actually, the one I bought was bigger than the one I got, and so you got a better deal anyway.
So, but it was kind of industrial to industrial. Mm-hmm. And I know we had someone else come in here and had a lot out by the dump somewhere and was interested in one of these also and wanted to trade. And generally we have not done that, because then you got to start... what's the value of each, and then pretty soon people are trading all kind of things for, you know, so normally we haven't done that unless it was something in, you know, all both in the industrial thing or, you know, something like that, but it is a code requirement.
Anything further?
Pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
So then, if I understand this correctly, that for the Wrangell Cooperative Association, because it would be a government-to-government exchange, it wouldn't have to go up for a bid. Is that correct?
You know, I suppose the assembly could do that for anybody. It's not normally done.
Okay, it's but it's code, not...
But generally, we've done land exchanges with the state, federal government. That's how we got land up at the... that our reservoirs are on. That one time that was federal land, then it was state land, and then we got it through a kind of a, you know, something like this. So there has been government to government transfers, but, you know, not a lot of them, but it has happened.
But that couldn't happen with Mr. Woodbury, correct? That if
I'm not saying it couldn't, I'm just saying it's not something that normally happens.
Oh, doesn't normally happen.
And
okay, I just want to understand.
Before that. I say that, also, it's probably something we would need to check with our attorney.
Okay.
Because I think normally the code, unless there's a situation where you're just selling to someone because you've got a right-of-way thing that you abandon and it goes to the adjacent property owners or, you know, something like that, but just an all-out lot, generally, to my knowledge, that's something we advertise, and because there, and the thing is, you know, there is we've had a handful of other people, and unfortunately we wish we had tons of industrial lots up there and it'd make it a lot easier, and we had tons, nobody wanted them, then now they're going like crazy, and now we don't have any more other than these that are kind of don't really have road access or utilities or anything to them, so and we're trying to do some things. There was some mitigation land that we had to set aside when we did do the industrial park, and that was kind of adjacent, and we had Jan Stewart, who was the core person at that time, and so anyway, now we're kind of landlocked up there and can't really expand very easily, so it's a problem. We're trying to actually work with the Corps to see if, and it's kind of a long shot, that see if they will exchange some different land so we can get that back, and we'll put some other land aside, and so, but that's kind of where it's at normally, and I would certainly want to check with the attorney, because it is something that in our code I believe it requires us to bid.
Yes. I have a question for you, Jeff. If we put this out to bid, do we have to provide all of the services before it goes out to bid, like sewer and?
Actually, there's a fair amount of the lots up there. We have water and sewer up there, and it was expensive to put in. And there's a lot of the lots up there that don't want water and sewer. It's just put rock over it, and we want to store stuff. And so I'm not sure some of the new lots, if we were to put them out, and these, would depend, I guess, on what we wanted to do. You'd have to have a road access to them, and normally you'd want power to them, but the water and sewer, you know, unless there was a, you know, a need, some of the others that we might put out, we may not do that. Just say, this is what there is.
Are you interested?
Does anybody have any further questions for Mr. Worthy, so he doesn't have to stand up there?
Sorry, Mayor.
Like that, but 6th Avenue, I mean, we can just surface that road, if you can put water and sewer on it, just haul rock, put it over the muskeg and sell the lots. What do you have, 5 or 6 lots on the right-hand side of 6th Avenue?
5.
Yeah. I mean, make it simple.
I think typically we do a lot of subdivisions down south, but it was all the developer's responsibility to put the services in. So I think we have every right to sell these as unimproved lots. And I mean, if we start putting water, sewer, power, everything to these lots, we're not really making anything on the lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
Yeah.
So as a borough standpoint, it doesn't make sense for us to have to go build, unless we jack the price way up. So.
Yeah.
Is that it?
For as I'm concerned, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aaron Engelman.
Aaron Engelman, 120 Reed Street. I'm the tribal administrator for Wrangell Cooperative Association. I'm here to show my support for Mr. Willard and the Rose Department. Wrangell Cooperative Association, in my opinion, has a really bright future. I'm glad to be a part of it. We are very lucky to have the Rose Department under our umbrella. Over the past 3+ years, we've seen structures go up in downtown Wrangell valued at over $2 million. And we plan on expanding on those. One of those structures happens to be right in the center of that flag sitting in front of you right now, Shakes Island Tribal House. And the rededication of that ceremony alone brought in over 1,000 people to this town. I play a very, very big part in the tourism in Wrangell, people to come and visit our sites. Once we get our totems in here and we bring in master carvers from all over, the raising of those totems is going to be an even bigger event. The new carbon facility is going to house artists locally, bring in people from out of town for years to come. And we need some permanence, and I think that this would provide us some. The structure that Mr. Willard plans to put in with the Rose Department can not only house all the equipment that they're accumulating, that is currently, I think, squatting on the U.S. Forest Service property, but offices for our expanding staff, including myself, including others we're hiring in the near future. And we just want to make sure that everyone knows that our tribal members are Wrangellites, and we're all in this together on the same island, same community, and we're putting money back into this town and hiring locals at every turn. And just want you to know that people like me involved in this, we have our eyes set quite a ways down the road, and that we're planning on here for quite some time, and I don't think I'd be standing here talking to you as tribal administrator if that wasn't the case. So I just want to say that Mr. Willard has set his eyes on these lots for a specific reason and has a vision of what the structure should look like, the facility it can provide, and we just hope that you consider it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for?
Is there any particular reason why the three lots on the north side of 5th Avenue, 7, 8, and 9 would not work for what you guys have planned?
Now, from my understanding, I think that the roadside location of the others would be more ideal to what we are looking to erect there. So for office-wise and everything else, my guess is being out stomping around the muskeg over the years is that it's a little tougher area to get to. It's a little soggier, something along those lines. I think that being located right there by the Spur Road, Ishiyama Drive, would be great. Us sitting right next to the Forest Service would be, I can just picture our office there, it would be really nice. And I think that Mr. Willard had his eyes on that for those reasons.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on any agenda item at this time? Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 898, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 14-11.005, fee schedule of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to fees for use of harbors and port facilities, to add a fee for long-term storage reservation at the Marine Service Center and fees for buyer's chuck mortgage. This is the second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 898.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Proposed ordinance number 899, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.22.030, enhanced 911 surcharge on local exchange access lines and wireless telephone numbers of the Wrangell Municipal Code to increase the monthly surcharge within the enhanced 911 service area. This is also a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 899 and for the distribution of revenues to be as follows. 40% would go to repair and maintenance of the 911 equipment and the balance towards operations of the system.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Hold, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12C, proposed ordinance number 900, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, proposing an amendment to the Home Rule Charter, repealing section 11-2, Thomas Bay Power Authority. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 900.
Second it.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That concludes old business. Item 13, new business, 13A, approval of the senior tax exemption that was received after the March 2nd deadline, but before the late filing grace period.
Move to approve the 2015 senior tax exemption for Rick Martin that was received after the deadline of March 2nd, 2015, but before the allowed grace period of April 15th, 2015.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval to vacate Silvernail Work Road through the Marine Service Yard adjacent to lot 4BB-1, WSI Subdivision 2 Subdivision, from the fenced entrance behind City Market to Front Street. Zoned waterfront development requested by the Port Commission.
Move to approve the request to vacate Silvernail Work Road from the end of the pavement behind the museum to Front Street, and in place of the vacated ROW, create a 60-foot wide access easement from the end of the pavement to lot C, Bay Company, replat to provide access to that lot. then taper the access easement to 30 foot wide with the easement to be located within the driving lane to the current gated access across the front street.
Second.
We moved in second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C and D were approved under consent agenda, and item 13E. Approval to enter into an agreement with Mike Allen Jr. for temporary use to harvest timber on city-owned property as requested by Mike Allen Jr.
Move to approve the sale of 100 spruce trees to Mike Allen for $25,000 to be cut at his sawmill in Wrangell, and authorize the borough manager to enter into a contract with Mike Allen to include conditions of the sale.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yes. I have a couple of questions for Mr. Allen. Is it possible for us to...
Sure.
You want to come up here? Put you on the spot here, Mike.
Mike Allen, 742 Evergreen Avenue.
I was trying to kind of visualize this sale. So is it, you're going in and selectively pulling out
yes.
these 100 spruce trees? It's not sort of a clear cut, drop everything. Okay, great. And then and what I read is it will keep you, your business moving forward for a year, or how long do you figure?
9 months to a year.
9 months to a year. Okay, and then just out of curiosity, plans for down the road. First of all, I love that, and I think it's great that you're going to be doing, you know, keeping people employed in town. So 100% support there. Down the road, what are your plans, Mike? What do you see?
I'm just trying to bridge the gap till the bigger timber sales come out from the Forest Service so we can continue to keep working and grow.
Okay, and then are these logs going to be processed down, like, so, or are we talking about an export log?
No export at all. It'll be processed into a finished product here. High value added.
Okay, that's it for me.
I have a couple. Have you been up there and already picked out the trees?
Yes.
Are any of them near Rainbow Falls or in that area?
When we saw the cut that happened out at Pat's Lake, it was not very pleasing to see. Are your trees such that there's some kind of a buffer zone so
yes,
that you won't see it from the road?
About the back of Harold Bailey's lot, which is, I'm not really sure, 350 feet. That's the closest we'll get to the highway.
Okay, and then will that kind of take care of any blowdown that may happen as well?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, then. I know that it's kind of common practice to drag logs out for maybe firewood use. You know, when you do a cut with the Forest Service, I've been told, I was kind of asking around about this. And are you planning to do, when you have, you know, when you fall your timber, you're going to probably have some collateral damage. Can you haul that out where people could actually get access to use that for firewood? Could you make that, could we make that a condition?
Yes and no. Part of the problem with the access I'm using the road that Alcan put in back as far as the city property goes, and I have to get access from mental health and their road to go get 90% of the trees. So the only trees that are in the front part are the ones that he wants. So
what's going to happen to the stuff that gets knocked down?
Out and water barred again like it is right now.
No, not the road. The when you fall trees, you have some that come down.
Very well.
Can we make that a condition of this?
To a point. I mean, it gets to be a value thing. It costs an extreme amount of money to remove the timber out of there, and if you want to pull out wood that really isn't worth very much, it costs way more than the value of the wood.
Okay, but I know that that's a common practice for a timber sale.
Not necessarily. Usually what you have to do, there's several different ways the Forest Service does it. Anything that's pulp or unmerchantable is left out in the woods. You don't even have to mess with it. And any of the calls that make it to the road, you make a call deck at the side of the road, which will be on the mental house property. But there's only about 8 or 10 trees along the city road that goes up through there that I'll be harvesting along that road. So
I don't think we can give access to mental health land is the issue.
Should be able to do that.
We couldn't say people could have access to go cut firewood on mental health land.
I don't think that'd be appropriate. I get that. That's why I'm asking questions.
So I just want to revisit my one question then. So if you're selectively cutting down these high-value trees, what is the collateral damage? Like, if I walk up there afterwards, am I going to, like, I walk my dogs up in some of those cuts, and some of them are pretty, you know.
Well, that was a clear cut.
Yeah, but this is going to be, I'll go up and see that there may be some collateral damage, but it's still going to be tree standing.
Oh, yeah, definitely lots of tree standing.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Well, I think what Mike is trying to say, a lot of our trees are very shallow, right? In this country, we don't have a taproot. So basically, a tree falls, it knocks another tree down, and it goes down. And if it's usable, I'm suspecting you're going to harvest it. But if it's small diameter scrub, it's just going to lay there. But you can't drop a 30-inch tree into another tree without some damage taking place. This is the nature of the business. And I would suspect that, you know, anybody that can get to it legally would be have
a
right to.
I don't have a problem with anybody going up and accessing the mental health road to get it, but I can't get access either.
Correct.
Any further questions? Thank you. Any further discussion on this?
I have one question for Jeff on this. What's the legality? Is this something that needs to go out for a bid, or is it something that we can do, or do we need to go through the attorney? Or
we can check with him, but I know we have done another timber sale. This has been a long time ago. In fact, it was at the same mill site. I think when Frank Age ran that, the city did a sale for him, I think without a public bid. And it's one of those things where, you know, with Mike being the main and only, maybe not the only, there might be some others that cut trees too, but probably the one that cuts the most trees in town. And if you did something, a bid where it was limited to where you had to process it here, you know, he would be pretty much, my guess, is the only one that could bid on it. So. But I can certainly run that by the attorney to see if he has any issue with it.
Jeff, how did you come up with the price?
Well, Mike proposed it, and then we checked with the Forest Service, and then Carol also checked with the State Forester Office, and there was some differences, and the Forest Service had a price of, you know, they have this. And Mike can probably explain it, or someone else better than I can, but this complicated formula, there's a lot of things in with their costs and this and that. But they kind of threw out a number of, you know, $97 for some of this. Now, the state forester said, you know, if you were, you know, it's always possible, depending on each individual tree, you know, that might be more valuable than that. But I think, like I said, the Forest Service felt that this was kind of an average. I think they went and took a sample of a handful of trees there and said they range about like this. This is about how many board feet. This is about what they're worth generally. And again, if you've got a bunch of music wood that's, you know, they could be a little bit more valuable than that. But so that we kind of looked at both of those. And again, maybe Mike can explain all this better than I can, but that's where we just kind of verified, is it a reasonable number? And like I said, I admit that when it comes to the timber industry and how all this is done, nobody on our staff knows a whole lot about it. So like I said, we did call a couple people just to verify that, to see if it was in the ballpark. It appeared to be. And like I said, the trees maybe, you know, you could get more out of them. But again, if you go to bid it where anybody, there's people that would come in and take it and haul it out in the round and go do something that would pay for it more for it maybe. But that wasn't the goal here. It was to have people in town work and process that here. So anyway, that's that's kind of as good as we got there, I guess, on it, and the checking we did. So we did check a couple sources.
Yes. If I read this right, we have a motion on the floor right now to approve this, but also you want to talk to an attorney. Is there a way we can do this in one thing? Like, you can, if the attorney says it's all okay, that he can move to enter into a contract with him without coming back to it?
I think we could approve it on the condition of the attorney's approval.
Yeah. I'd also request that there's specific language put in to ensure that Mr. Oliver has access to the trees he requires to put on our 4th of July logging show.
And I'd also like to put in the setback so that we don't see it, it's not visible, even though Mr. Allen has assured us that he's already got that. But I think it ought to be under the, in the contract.
Can you do that?
So who's going to read this revised?
Well, I don't think
we really need to revise it.
Jeff,
the contract is going to be. Yes.
Well, the last thing I want to say is I want to ensure that what we're buying into is what we wind up with, because we've had a couple of instances where we thought we were buying into a certain thing and it turned out to be something way different. And so I want to make sure that, you know, encourage the all parties that when I say selective logging, I have a vision in my mind that it's still the majority of trees standing. And I just want to make sure that that's what we buy into. That's important to me, because I know we've had a couple of incidents over the last couple of years where we thought it was selective and it turned out to be kind of. So I don't want to have that surprise. And I don't know if there's language can be put in exactly how that works or whatever, but I really want to make sure.
A diameter condition into it.
A diameter condition?
Diameter, not 30 inch, not trees.
Sounds good.
And again, recognizing that there could be collateral damage.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no, I get that.
Anything from discussion? Does anyone want to do the motion with again? Okay, hold on.
And just to be clear, this is on the motion. The conditions is part of what the manager will do. That's not part of the motion.
No,
but I will do that.
Okay. Correct.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, a discussion and possible action regarding a request from Wrangell Cooperative Association to purchase city-owned property.
This motion requires us to insert an option. So I'm willing to make the motion and insert an option, but I also understand that through discussion we may have a change. I move to proceed with the disposal of city-owned industrial lots as proposed in option, and I think it was 3. Where am I?
Should be right above it. Right here. We have a motion.
I don't know. That's just the motion and. With your options.
Mr. Mayor, I think that it's appropriate that there's discussion first, since it's not.
Yeah, because I just want to get it rolling.
Option.
Well, I think that it's okay if there's discussion and then there's a motion after discussion.
Yeah, then we can change it to.
Perfect.
No motion, just discussion first. And then a motion.
Would it be helpful to explain the three options that at least we come up with? Is that okay, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I think myself and staff, we went through a process where we had multiple parties wanting the same thing. We actually had a meeting with the two of them to see if there could be some resolution of that. And I think at the end of the day, they both wanted the same lot, at least one of them. We try to go through and we've listed some of the things we thought about, the different pros and cons of, you know, both situations. And there's advantages and disadvantages to both. So I don't think this is real clear cut. I think the code, we were just looking at that a minute ago, and I think the code is pretty clear with selling lots that there's a process you go through, and it is a comes down to a bid process. But again, we've done government to government, so that would, you know, could be an option. So basically, option one would be to sell the land to WCA as a government to government for the appraised value. And then we would have to put the utilities into that lot at a price of somewhere in the neighborhood of the mid-60s if it went just to the first lot. Option two that Mr. Woodbury proposed would be a land exchange for a residential lot for the lot that he wants adjacent to his current two lots. This is an option that generally we don't do and don't really want to do, because you get, we've already had someone else want to do the same thing. Another person come in there and had a lot that, like I said, was out by the garbage dump, a residential lot. So we've already had more than one person do that, and generally that's something we don't want to do, is you get that lot, then you've got to deal with getting rid of another lot. And then option three was basically to put all five of the lots out for bid, for public bid, and just whoever wants to bid on them would be able to, because there has been other interest in these lots. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess, as staff and us, as we were looking through all this and what we've done and the things we've done in the past and precedents that have been set, I guess kind of where we're at. So I'll leave it to the assembly.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the only fair thing to do is to put it out for bid, unimproved. Put all five lots out, let them bid on it. Of course, we would have to put an access to it, but water, sewer, power, that would be at the responsibility of whoever bought the lots. That's my feeling.
Have we looked at the cost of finishing Fifth Avenue there?
No.
I want to recognize the outstanding work that the Wrangell Cooperative Association has done, and the projects that they've taken on in our community, and it is our tribal government. And I just really would have a problem if we don't recognize our tribal government and support them in the work that they're doing. And I really appreciate Mr. Woodbury's position. But I really believe that the projects that they're doing, where they're heading, and the workforce development that they're going through, I think it's a very worthwhile project. And again, I come back to you, as tribal government, we should be reaching out and working with them and supporting them in this process. And I know that it is going to potentially have an impact for us, but the financial impact down the road would be substantial, and I believe that it will be ongoing and will help us to bridge some state shortfalls that we're going to see, and who knows what other projects can be developed from this. So I would really like to see option one.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I like to echo what assembly member next to me has said. I think the only fair way, well, I really agree with you, Assembly Member Prasunka, about what WCA has brought to the community and the importance of their transportation infrastructure partnership that they've done in the town with all of the new roads we've seen is really wonderful. But I think the only fair thing to do is to put them up for bid.
Yeah, I agree with Assemblymember Prasunka's assessment of WCA and really support that partnership. But at the same time, we have a private enterprise here that already owns a lot, and he's trying to get the one adjacent to his. And there are also three other lots, 7, 8, 9, on the north side of Fifth Avenue that would work for what WCA needs. They just would require a little bit more development. So if they can't come to an agreement between the two entities, then I think the only fair way is to put it out for bid.
I'm going to agree with Daniel. I think that I just don't. I mean, it's hard for me not to think that we can't come with an agreement somewhere. I mean, I don't know what the city has to do with giving property away or anything like that, but I think that if we can't sit down and have an agreement between the people that are involved, and then again, also, who's to say that you put these up to bid and there ain't seven or eight more people wanting to bid on these? And if you start down this road that we give to one and not to the other, that's a tough place to go. I don't know.
We have a precedent of supporting not-for-profits in our community with land for projects. We did that with AICS and the clinic land. It's my understanding, Jeff, is that correct, that we did the land for them to build the federally qualified health center, which is a huge benefit to our community. So I don't see this as a new precedent at all. I see this as us supporting a fantastic organization that brings a lot to the table within our community. And so
what I'd like to see is that we don't have to deal with this tonight. I'd like to see that we postpone this until our next assembly meeting, and in the interim, the two entities work with the city manager to see if you can't work something out, and then bring it back. If nothing can be worked out, then bring it back to us.
What I don't understand is if he wants to bid on this land, are they going to work it out between them two? Is that what can be done, Jeff? Can that actually be done?
Well,
with you guys were talking about policy and charter, you know?
Mr. Mayor, Kim and I just read the statutes, and we reread it as pretty, and I'll confirm this with the attorney, but we read this. Don't you read that as it's pretty clear that it needs to be bid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll double check that with the attorney. So if we're going to give it, sell it, or to a private enterprise, I don't know if we can or we can't. But and like I said, I think the government to government is a different situation, and we've had that in the past. But I think, but I'm not the expert on it. But I can certainly check to see if that's the case. So
if I'm hearing you correctly, we think we can do a government to government transfer, and the tribal government is a governmental entity, but we couldn't do a straight across transfer to an individual.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. There is a provision in here. I think because of all of the iPads, my internet's
we're reading
slow.
The wrong thing.
No. If we were to sell public property, it has to go out to bid. However, if we were to transfer from, say, Mr. Woodbury's property, if we were to do that, we could do that without a bid.
You mean if you were trading?
If we were trading.
Oh.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that that's what Mr. Woodbury is looking at.
No, I have a lot, I would do it.
You wanted this
to... I wanted, because, by the way, you guys talk about one lot instead of... I wanted, it was 5A and 6A, and it was, he said, just 5A. I wanted to trade one lot and purchase the lot, or I prefer purchasing both of them, and so I can keep the other lot, too, so I can pay more taxes. So... anyway, that's what I'd like to do if it's possible. I'm willing to do anything I can to do to be able to get the lots to make it work.
Yeah, so it sounds like if there's an exchange, that's what we did with the other one, that is an available option. But if you're just buying something, then it needs to go to bid.
So,
but again, we'll confirm that.
It's my understanding you have one lot now.
No, I have, no.
I mean, in that location, right?
No, I have two lots.
Oh. Yeah, come forward, please.
No, I have two lots. I traded one before. I can't remember the number.
Two lots.
Yep, adjacent to this.
That are adjacent to this, these two lots.
Yeah, it's kind of in a row like this, mm-hmm. and others. I can't remember the number I have. I have two of them. And then 5A and 6A are the ones I want with it that will go all the way across. If I go and do...
You're not proposing to trade the lots you have now for the...
I have another lot up on Ellen Street that I would trade for.
But there's two lots here.
Yep. I want four.
So it would require a trade of one and then a purchase of the other.
Right. Or whatever.
So
however
you have to go out to bid.
Oh, well, but do you have to go out to bid if there's no access to them? Or so if you guys go out to bid and say 5A, Steve Persanka gets it, now you're going to have to build a road to get to that thing?
Well, the ordinance doesn't state about access.
Well, that's why I'm, well, I mean, because you guys can't put nothing out to bid if you ain't got access to it, can you?
Well, you'd have to provide access to it.
Okay, so you'd have to build a road to get to 5A, which is in the middle, which is going to be 200 or 300 feet of road, 400 feet of road to build, just so he can have access to that lot. See, I'm just adjacent. Well, I mean, that's why I want to try to, if I could purchase, trade, whatever, I'm adjacent to it. You don't have to build no road. You don't have to put no utilities in. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is sell me a lot, trade a lot, whatever, and there's no expense to the city whatsoever.
Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to have Jeff find out the legal part of this and then relook at this at another time if they can talk to each other and go that way. Are you making a motion to that, Jeff? Yeah, I am. I'd like to make a motion to have him have our city manager look into the legal ramifications of this, and then re-talk to them again to see if they could work something out, and then if they can't, bring it back to us.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Oval, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G, approval and acceptance of an amendment to the sewer pump replacement project, CDBG grant.
Move to accept the $257,250 additional grant funds from the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, and to authorize the borough manager to execute amendment number one for the sewer pump replacement project and approve the matching portion of this grant to come from either a potential and pending USDA grant or sewer services, sewer reserves.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13I, approval of the change orders 5, 6, and 7 for the Kaziar Roadway and Utilities Improvements Project.
13H.
Oops, where you
we missed one.
Oh, 13H, excuse me. I see sewer pump project replacement. Approval of amendment number two for DOLHKM for the sewer pump replacement project contractual services.
Move to approve amendment number 2 to the contract with DOWL for contract administration services for the sewer pump replacement project with funds in the amount of $21,176 to be designated from the CDBG DCCED project grant.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Full roll, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Now I can do 13.
Yeah.
Approval of change orders 5, 6, and 7 for the Cassiar Roadway and Utilities Improvements Project.
Move to approve the change order 5 and 6 in the amount of $12,875 and change order 7 in the amount of $37,618 for a total amount of $50,493.74.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. Item 15, executive session. There is none. Item 16 is adjournment. We will adjourn at 8:17.